What's up? This okay. This is gonna sound
What's
weird.
What's up? This is Movies on Up.
Yeah. What's up? This is Movies on Up. When Earth becomes an arena, murder becomes a way of life. If the Earth did become an arena, there is no man I would want at my back more than my partner and my co-host, Mr. Dave Bissell.
You know that classic tagline.
When Earth becomes an arena, murder becomes a way of life. Good luck with that one, folks. If you are somehow able to discern that that comes from what appears to be an Italian movie, 2020, Texas Gladiators. If you figure that out, let us know in one of the following ways. You can email your guests to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your guests to us at moviesonup on the Twitter or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct and if we choose you, 2020 will be the year you make contact with a Movies on Up prize package. This week, we are wrapping up our favorites of the last decade, so 2010 through 2019. We went through our 20 through 11 last week, just to run those down real quick again. Dope, Attack the Block, The Invitation, What We Do in the Shadows, Captain America, Winter Soldier, 21 Jump Street, It, Chapter 1, A Quiet Place, Spy, and The Babadook. That leaves us with 10 more for the decade that was. After we run down those 10, this is a collective list that Dave and I smooshed our individual lists together. We Voltroned them, you might say. But after we give you our collective number one, at the end of the episode, we're going to run down what our individual top 20 lists are, just so you know kind of how the decade shook out for each of us, although there will be a lot of crossover between them. So Dave, take it away. Our 10th favorite, not necessarily the 10th best, but our 10th favorite movie of the decade that was.
This is fitting. When I was reading the
this is the OG.
Yeah, when I was reading the column on the left, I thought this was 11, and I thought like, oh, that's perfect way to end the first half.
It's a better way to begin this one.
Yeah, it's the better way to begin this. From 2012, the week before our first episode in May of 2012, it is from Joss Whedon, The Avengers, starring... You know who's
The Avengers.
We've done an episode on it. We've mentioned this movie for the last 8 years. It was an event, a movie that was, what, 8 movies building up to it at this point? Mm-hmm. 5 or 6 movies building up to it at this point. It was something we'd never seen before. We'd never seen a successful universe. It changed movies as we see now, because instead of just studios wanting to release tentpoles, they want to release universes. So... it did a lot for movies. It's near and dear to our heart because our first episode was us talking about the $200 million opening that it came. And we've been big Marvel fans since. And, you know, our podcast has grown as the MCU has. So
I think we're about on the same trajectory.
I think so.
Marvel.
Yeah.
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 We're about to get purchased by Disney. Like Dave said, it's not the first of the Marvel movies, but this showed what they would become. It really did feel like a wonderful culmination for phase one while still managing to set the table for the next 8 years and in a wonderful way. Endgame was a much different movie and it's a much different feeling leaving that movie. And that was a great wrap up to essentially everything after this movie. It didn't quite set the table going forward. And that's by design. It's what I wanted at the end of that movie, but it's not what I got. Avengers, I got everything I possibly could have hoped for or wanted, and even more. The Battle of New York, one of the greatest. I said the same thing when we talked about Winter Soldier. The climax of that movie is really well shot and blocked out. The Battle of New York is amazing. All the heroes working together, playing off each other. That's when the Avengers movies are at their best. When Thor is smashing his hammer off Captain America's shield. We nailed it with this. I really do think it changed movies going forward. What was previously impossible, now Disney does once a year. On a slightly smaller scale is our number 9. If you were listening a couple weeks ago, you heard this on our best of 2019 list. It was a movie we liked so much, it stuck around. And it is Olivia Wilde's Booksmart, starring Beanie Feldstein and Caitlin Dever. calling it super bad for a new generation is one of the highest compliments that we can give to any given movie. It's an insanely funny script, and the timing between the two leads is amazing. Just like it was in Superbad, plenty of heart, one of the most rewatchable movies on the list. There's so many jokes. There's so many awesome performances. Billy Lord's really good in this. It's the first thing I remember seeing her in that she actually had something to do, and she was great. The bits in this movie, there are so many. And we talked for a while about this. The murder party is fun. The drug sequence at the end of that's great. Them in the back of Sudeikis's Uber trying to charge their phone, playing the audio. It's an amazing story about that time in your life where all of your friends are about to change because everyone's going in different directions. The rest of your life kind of opens up before you. And how do you deal with that? Some of the characters deal with it well, others not so much. And how do you reconcile that within a very close friendship? And even the way they do it up until the very end, I thought was just incredible. Very realistic portrayal of a friendship. I think there was a college that just released a study about women playing roles in movies. I think they're at about 40% of the main characters in movies last year were played by women. This is absolutely two women leads crushing it. Woman director could have used a little more award show love. I think Feldstein got a Golden Globe, and that might have been it.
You could have nominated either of them for an Oscar. Yeah. I think they were that good. Olivia Wilde.
Maybe not best director.
Maybe not
but
best director, but I
give me a
original screenplay would have been good for
give
this.
Give me a best picture. I'm sorry. It's that fucking
yeah,
good.
Female Superbad. It sounds degrading, but it's very high compliment because I hold Superbad on a
maybe
very
Superbad is the male Booksmart.
Yeah.
I'm willing
to
go that
far
too.
I'm
yeah.
confident saying that as well. They're partners. They're a good yin to yang or whatever that is.
That's the team-up movie we need.
Yes, yes. Superbad versus Booksmart. I hold Superbad
Super
on a
Booksmart.
Very, very high pedestal. So for me to compare this movie to that is a big, big compliment. Our number 8 from 2017. We're sticking in the comic book. 2 out of 3 so far. Directed by James Mangold. Written by James Mangold and Scott Frank. Starring Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. It is Logan. The Avengers kind of culminating and showing, oh, a universe movie is possible. Logan kind of opened the doors for...
Reminds you that you can make a movie with a singular superhero.
Yeah, you can make a movie with a singular superhero. But, you know, where we talked about Winter Soldier last week, introducing Marvel to new genres. This is taking normally the big flashy X-Men movies and turned it into a Western and nailed it. You have Hugh Jackman's swan song as a character he'd been playing for 20 years, pretty much, based on one of the greater Wolverine storylines, loosely based on Old Man Logan. It had the feel of it.
The Western feel, yeah.
Yeah, and then we introduce X-23 with Daphne Keane. It's kind of a send-off for Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman. It just was really, really good. It's one of those that the characters are great, the performances are great, and when it wants to do action, it does action. It gets you your mutant action. This is the Wolverine I grew up reading. The scene at the beginning with his limo, that's the Wolverine that I love. That's the comic pages that were splattered red that I love, that I hadn't gotten on screen until this one.
I mean, there's a lot here. Deadpool gets a lot of credit for... you can make an R-rated superhero movie. And it was insanely financially successful. I'm not taking anything away from Deadpool. But for me, what Logan did, you can't tell me that Hugh Jackman did not deserve an Academy Award nomination for this. And Patrick Stewart, too.
And James Mangold.
Yeah.
I think this deserved an adapted screenplay and a director and, I think, best picture. I mean, this was a rough year because this was same year as Wonder Woman. I feel like Patty Jenkins and Mangold could have gotten Oscar noms. I feel like both of them should have been Best Picture noms.
Superhero movies had been nominated before. I mean, we had Heath Ledger winning for playing a character we
Dark
might
Knight
be
made
talking about
expand
very soon.
Best Picture.
Right. It had been done before, but after Logan, we got to see Black Panther get nominated. And I'm not saying it's because of Logan. I think it really had more to do with the fact that they didn't nominate Wonder Woman. But this is it. This is finally getting that character right. And in a year where we had several movies featuring digitally altered versions of other characters, it was actually done much better in Logan here.
And not hyped.
No.
You didn't know.
Didn't even know that was going to be in the movie.
You didn't know that Hugh Jackman was the villain. You didn't know that younger Hugh Jackman was the villain in this movie. So that was a nice surprise. And they pulled it off.
Sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet, but you had plenty of time. Our number 7 is our second movie on the list from directors Lord and Miller. It is The Lego Movie, starring Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell, Elizabeth Banks, Alison Brie, a bunch of folks.
Liam Neeson.
Yes, Liam Neeson's. This movie, if you'll pardon the pun, is awesome. Everything that Pixar gets deserved praise for is done here in The Lego Movie. Lord and Miller have a great message about creativity and how you can be an individual and that's okay. I think it's a great message for kids. There's a ton of jokes that everyone can appreciate. That song just gets in your head. It's catchy as shit. It's a lot of fun. And as bad as Justice League sucked, I'd rather see a Lego Justice League movie. Love Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. They're great. That's the Green Lantern and the Superman I want. The visuals in this movie, great. Will Ferrell showing up at the end.
That
well,
was a nice surprise.
In the flesh. Yeah. President Business. It's a fun movie. It's silly. There's a couple movies on this list that I spent a lot of time spreading the gospel of. The Lego Movie was one that people might ask, hey, what's a good movie to check out? And I, regardless of how old you were, whether you had kids or not, I would say The Lego Movie. And people would look at me like I was nuts. And I'm just like, just watch it.
It worked.
Yeah. I don't care who you are. You're going to enjoy it because it's an enjoyable movie.
That's the easiest way to describe this movie. It worked. 21 Jump Street as a comedy shouldn't work. It worked. A movie about Legos shouldn't work. It worked because of the heart, because of the characters, because of the visuals. They made it work. It was great. My kids loved it. I loved it. It's hard to believe this was 2014. It does not seem that long ago, but this spawned the Legoverse. You had Lego Batman, which was great.
Yeah, Ninjago.
Ninjago, which was better than it should have been. Lego Movie 2. So our number next one, 6. Our number 6, written by Lord and Miller. They have a back-to-back, but directed by Bob Persichetti and Peter Ramsey. I didn't mention it. They were going to direct this, but they had to back out because they got the Star Wars gig.
Busy doing something else they got fired from.
Yeah. They got the Star Wars gig. So it is from 2018, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, starring Shameik Moore from Dope, Jake Johnson, Haley Steinfeld. This was higher on my list. We'll get to it later. This is one of those movies that I can rewatch once every couple days and still get goosebumps in the same spots, still be blown away by the same visuals, get choked up at the same lines, laugh at the same jokes. This is one of those that's so well done that even though I've seen it a million times, this is one of those, once it went to Netflix, like anytime I have, you know, my uncle visit, my mom, my dad, they don't really watch these kind of movies, but it's one of those that like,
long as they're not epileptic,
I'll throw it on. And everyone who would have no interest in seeing this movie by the time it's over is like, that was really good. It's not just a comic book movie. It's not just a kids movie. It's not just an animated movie. This movie, it's a great, great movie.
A little like the Lego Movie in that respect, where even if it's not a genre or, maybe you don't play with Legos, but it doesn't matter. You did at some point. Maybe you don't read comic books, but do you have parents? There's certainly enough here for everybody. And that's what I think Lord and Miller are really good at.
What I like about it is that it's everybody knows the Spider-Man story.
The Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Exactly. So this is a Spider-Man. You're familiar with the concept of Spider-Man, but it's still new because Miles Morales is, that character's
relatively new.
Yeah. It's giving something people are familiar with, but told in a completely different way. And doing the Spider-Verse version of it, I thought was great.
So last week we had quite a few horror movies on our list, and from some first-time directors and people that we would not have thought to associate with horror until they made their movie. And that is absolutely appropriate for our number 5 movie, and it was Jordan Peele's Get Out from 2017, starring Daniel Kaluuya, who did get nominated for Best Actor, whereas we cited a lot of instances where the women, Toni Collette, Essie Davis,
Emily Blunt,
yeah, where they didn't. Kalula getting nominated here, it was deserved. He had a good performance, and I was hopeful that it was going to open the door for maybe Lupita this year. Obviously, that didn't happen. But this, from a guy who was perhaps best known for being the second banana on a cable TV sketch show, to make a horror movie, and one that was one of the things that I've always liked about horror, and I say it every so often, is that the horror can be used for an allegory. We're not actually afraid of monsters. We're afraid of what the monsters represent. Peele does that insanely well, not just in Get Out, but in Us as well. What are we most afraid of? Ourselves. So he's making really thoughtful horror movies that do happen to be acted insanely well. From the trailers of this and from the early buzz of this, I think we were both like, all right, this might be something that we have to take notice of. And yeah, it is. Even his follow-up, which didn't make the list, but it just showed that this is a dude now that went from being the guy that wasn't Keegan-Michael Key on that show, the second name on that show, to one of the most sought-after horror content producers. I mean, he's got the Twilight Zone. This is a dude that's going to be telling some of the most iconic horror stories going forward. And it started here.
It's no surprise that this is high. We did an episode on
this. It ought not to be.
Yeah, we mentioned this all the time. It's just a really good movie. I liked Us as well. This goes back to the theme that this was the first time director that, yeah, I'm going to watch anything they do from here on out. Our number four, this is one of those I almost didn't put as high because I didn't think Ryan would have it as high.
Because it's at four, we both had it real high.
Yeah, it's such an important movie to me personally, on an individual level, on a personal level, on an emotional level. And I didn't think it was the same for Ryan, so I hesitated putting it so high.
You do you, man.
Yeah, and I did anyway, just because I couldn't leave About Time from 2013, written and directed by Richard Curtis, starring Domhnall Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, Bill Nighy. I love this movie. I'm not on the Richard Curtis train. Like, I've never seen Love Actually. I've seen some of his stuff, but I'm not like a Richard Curtis shill. I am now because of this movie. You know, I follow his...
Now you like Love Actually.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I follow his daughter on Twitter just so I can get into the glimpse inside the home of Richard Curtis because of how much I love this movie. Bill Nighy is so good. Domhnall Gleeson. This is from 2013, and he had a run at the beginning of his career. I mean, it kind of still going on where it's just, he just does awesome thing after awesome thing. And this is right in the middle of it. Rachel McAdams is that perfect. It's a rom-com, I guess, but that's such a loose.
It is.
It's not a J-Lo rom-com. It's not your typical.
It's not a Katherine Heigl rom-com.
Yeah. It's not your typical.
Let's throw her under the bus.
Yeah. It's not your, yeah, I love J-Lo. It's not your typical rom-com. It's a completely different story. It's male focused. Domhnall Gleeson is the dude. He's the lead. And it's not about him winning the girl and keeping the girl. It's about him loving the girl, pretty much. And it's completely different. If you don't know what it's about, go see it. And I mean, I've talked many, many times about how this movie is emotionally to me, so I won't get into that again. But as I once said on this very podcast, this movie
is a goddamn motherfucking masterpiece. That is one of the quotes that will live in infamy when we finally do shut the doors on this. That's probably going to be the title of the last episode. I mentioned for the Lego movie that there were a couple movies over the past decade that I loved referring people to. This is the other one. And as much as I love the Lego movie, you're going to enjoy that. This, you're going to get something out of it. It is insanely emotional. I recommended it to a fellow that I used to work with. I gave him my copy. I said, here you go. Watch this. He said, what's it about? I said, don't worry about it. Just watch it and we'll talk about it later. And he brought it back to me the next day. He's like, you motherfucker. Because I didn't tell him anything and he didn't realize it was going to be as emotional of a movie as it is. He still loved it. I've never had anybody watch this movie and not like it. Because I just am not sure it's possible.
It's charming.
If you're a human being.
It's charming. It's funny. It's got heart. it's a love story. I think love story is more accurate than rom-com. But,
yes.
But I mean, they're both, it's really good. Rachel McAdams is like the perfect
dream girl. It's a good use for her.
Yeah, it's so good. And Dom Hall's so good in this. It's just such a good movie.
Number three also features a very strong male lead performance, and that is about where the similarities end. This is from 2013, although I believe it made our favorite movies of 2013 and 2012, by hook or crook, and it is John S. Baird's Filth. It is a movie that I believe gets referenced way more than it actually gets discussed on the show. It got a lot of run back in 2012, 2013, in the infancy of this show. I feel like this is kind of like we're explaining a callback a little bit.
Yeah. Well, just some backstory. We used to do trailers every week, and there were a couple trailers of Filth that we did, and they were some of the best trailers I've ever seen. I loved the trailers.
Hated McAvoy at the time.
I did hate McAvoy at the time. I loved the trailers, and it was released in the UK in 2013. And I went out of my way to obtain it and watch it because the trailer hooked me so much. It was released in the States in 2014. That's how it
made. Yeah, I had the years wrong. That's
yeah, that's how it made back-to-back. Yes. It was my number one 1 year.
In 2013, mine in the next year, yeah. You know, we mentioned McAvoy. He is not the first person to do the McAvoy turn. In fact, he was the third. But this is the movie, This and Trance,
yeah. Welcome to the Punch was right. The same year.
It's a little bit of a trifecta, but you'll notice, spoiler alert, Trance and Welcome to the Punch, not on this list. Filth is, this is not necessarily a movie I might recommend to everyone, because it is pretty black.
It's, yeah, very.
Fear and Loathing comes up in my mind a lot, and it's a lot of just the drug use. It's like a trip movie.
Well, I mean, Trainspotting would be an act. Yeah. That's based on an Irvine Welsh novel. This is based on an Irvine Welsh novel. So I think Trainspotting is an accurate comparison because it's a trip.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhere between Trainspotting and Bad Lieutenant, the Keitel one.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Although Nicolas Cage.
Although I liked that one too, yeah. But this is closer to the Harvey Keitel one.
Fear and Loathing if Hunter S. Thompson was a cop and not a journalist.
Right.
So. It is a good movie. It is dark. I recommended this to Zane at one point. This isn't the kind of movie I would recommend, and he was looking for something different than I would usually recommend. I said, watch Filth. I believe it was on Netflix at the time or whatever, and he could watch it, and he got back. He's like, this is exactly what I needed. Thank you. And it's like, it's one of those that you're not going to walk away from it a better person. It's not,
not like About Time.
Not like About Time. Yeah. It's not Into the Spider-Verse where you walk away like inspired. You're a better person. You feel like you can love better. No, this isn't that movie. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you feel better.
About yourself. Yeah,
because
probably.
You're not the people in this movie. It gets pretty dark, but it's fun the whole time. He took a novel that really shouldn't have been adapted and pulled it off very, very, very well. I love this movie. I'm glad it made it. It's hard not to justify it being so high when it was back-to-back number one.
Yeah, this is one I thought about leaving off the list completely and just putting in like a Hall of Fame category because it's kind of cheating, but no other movie was able to be number one for each of us in back-to-back years. So that's kind of a class unto itself. But you can't talk about the decade in terms of movies on up and not mention Filth. Ergo, our number three, but kind of our number one, Filth.
And from number three, we move on to our number two. We talked about how many movies from 2015 made our back half. This is from 2015, 30 years in the making, directed by J.J. Abrams, written by Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams. It is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. If you've listened to our show, you know we talk the Star Wars a lot. We've done an episode on all of them, most of them, asterisk. So we've talked about it. There's not much I can say that we haven't said already. But I will say, no movie in my lifetime, other than this one, have I anticipated so badly that I had a panic attack 20 minutes into the movie and I had to leave the theater, knowing I already had tickets for 2 days later. For my health, I had to leave to go have a panic attack for 20, 30 minutes just because of I had just lost my brother 9 months earlier, and that is why I love Star Wars, is because of him. So to sit there, that music come on, the scrolls start, and him not be there, and to know I can't call him afterwards to talk about it, it hit me. My first memory in the movie is Empire Strikes Back. These movies are so important to me. So for episode 7 to come and it delivered, it had the highest expectations I could place on a movie. And I left happy. I left joyful. It was the exact experience I wanted, but better.
And I think that's it. We were both, as a lot of people were, very much anticipating this movie. This was new Star Wars. Not a prequel that nobody really cared about because we didn't know those characters. This was the continuation of Princess Leia, Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Chewbacca. Basically, everybody in that theater, one way or another, had grown up absolutely loving. And JJ was able to make a movie that everyone enjoyed. Was it a critical masterpiece? No. Was it insanely derivative of A New Hope? Yes. But was it enjoyable? Did it make you goosebumps?
Did it make me feel like a kid watching
it? Yes, it absolutely did. And I think that was the last time a Star Wars movie made everyone feel good. And that's an insane feat to hit those expectations. The two saga movies since then have not, for one reason or another, have not succeeded that same way. And I think that just makes this movie that much more of an anomaly. People were just as toxic then. The Star Wars fans didn't change. But what JJ was able to do was just make an entertaining movie that people can feel good watching. He did. Which brings us to our number one. And we don't have to go very far. We are staying in the galaxy far, far away for 2016's Rogue One.
Episode 3.5.
Directed by Gareth Edwards, starring Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Alan Tudyk.
Ben Mendelsohn,
Forrest Whitaker, Riz Ahmed. I mean, we go on. As much as I liked The Force Awakens, this has been my favorite of the Disney Star Wars stories. In many ways, I think that this is perhaps one of the very few adult Star Wars things. Not to say that it's not for kids, because it is, but there were stakes in this movie, and none of the characters had any amount of plot armor. You know, we talked about the Marvel movies hopping genres and doing it well. This was very much like a Dirty Dozen kind of war movie. It takes place during the Galactic Civil War.
Wild Bunch, yeah.
Exactly. It ends very similar to the Wild Bunch.
Spoiler
alert. Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do about that? Jyn Erso, I thought, was one of my favorite characters. I mean, I like her much better than I like Finn, much better than I like Poe, Rey. She is my favorite new Star Wars character that has come out. I think director Krennic was great. Ben Mendelsohn's amazing.
Mads.
Yeah. The fact that we're going to get a Diego Luna spinoff. Cassian was a good character that was played with shades of gray. Those are all things that we didn't see in Star Wars up to that point. So it was able to show us something different, but still feel like it belonged in that universe. And it gave us Michael Myers, Darth Vader, a horror villain, a character we'd all been familiar with for 30 years in a scene that we all knew about, but got to see in a very different way.
This one is a fitting number one.
Surprising,
I mean,
fitting.
You say it's your favorite of the Disney movies. It's close to Empire for me. Like, as far as overall,
I don't disagree with
it's, that. It's close. I would still give Empire the edge. It would be 2 or 1B at the worst, or at the best, for my favorite Star Wars movies ever. It's a Star Wars movie, but it's a different movie. It's not about the Force. It's not about Jedis. It's a military movie. This is a movie about a Star War. This is a Star Wars war movie. It's a heist movie. Jyn Erso is awesome. I love her. I love the conflicting between her and Cassian Andor. And there's that moment, I've watched this so many times, but it hits that moment to where it feels like a Star Wars movie. It 100% feels like a Star Wars movie until it doesn't, because you experience things in this Star Wars movie you have not experienced. Okay, we watched Kenobi die on the bridge. Okay.
But knew that was coming.
That was coming. The Han Solo thing was telegraphed. But when Alan Tudyk dies in this, that's the first time we've seen like a major character.
And that's a droid.
It's a droid. but it hits you where it's like, oh my God, that's one of the main characters that just died.
Yeah.
And then all bets are off for the last, and it's the Alan Tudyk being that is great because Joss Whedon, when he made the Serenity movie, like he killed Wash because killing a main character makes you think that there's no more plot armor. People can die now. So once Alan Tudyk's droid dies, you realize like, oh yeah, there's probably no coming back from this. This is likely a kamikaze mission. So you better enjoy it. And you know that the stakes are there. And it's not like, oh, the Millennium Falcon's going to show up at the last minute and save them. You know, it's not. It takes that away. And you've never experienced that in a Star Wars movie before, among many other things. But just the last 20 to 30 minutes of this movie are some of my favorite movie, not just of the decade, but of my lifetime. So this is very fitting for our number one. I love this movie very, very much.
Dave, why don't you run down your top 20? I think it's important because we did smoosh these lists together. There are some that Dave's going to mention that didn't make
Not many.
Mine's, but
mine's only a couple, and it's pretty close. I had Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse number one. Rogue One, Filth was 3. Winter Soldier was higher at 4. Logan, Spy, and The Invitation, it's 5, 6, 7. Attack the Block and Dope, 8 and 9, which is why they were late, because they were so high in my list. 21 Jump Street, wrapping up the top 10. And then I went Force Awakens, Babadook. Wonder Woman is the first of mine that didn't make the top 20. That was my 13. And I think if you did the math, that would have fallen at like 21-ish or 22. So yeah. I didn't miss it by much. It, Get Out, The Avengers at 16. Upgrade, I had at 17. I like that movie way more than I imagined I would.
It's fun.
It's fun. About Time is lower than I thought I had it. I think that's because I did lower it because I didn't want to put it in my top like 6 or 7 and then Ryan feel like he has to put it if he didn't have it in there. And then A Quiet Place and Infinity War round out my top 20.
I was going to go 20 to 1, but since you went 1 to 20, I'll just tell you, About Time was my number one.
Okay.
That was my favorite movie.
So, I mean, it should have been higher because I handicapped it and I put it 18.
Yeah, it might have. If you put it where you actually thought it belonged, it probably would have knocked off one of the Star Wars movies.
I would have probably put it around 6-ish.
My number two was also a Star Wars movie, but I did put The Force Awakens higher than Rogue One just because of what it accomplished and the sheer amount of goosebumps I had watching the introduction of the Millennium Falcon, all that kind of garbage. And it made me just as hyped for Rogue One. Booksmart was my number three, followed by Get Out and the Lego Movie in my top five. My number six was Sing Street. It's a movie that I talk about an awful lot. It's got an amazing soundtrack, another great coming of age story. I've got a couple of those on my list. What We Do in the Shadows at number seven. Number eight is a movie that was just on my list from last year, as was Booksmart. By now, you know I'm a giant Tarantino honk. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my number eight. Love that. Rogue One, my number nine, followed by Filth, The Avengers. My number 12, Toy Story 3. In the lead up to Toy Story 4, I said we didn't need it. The franchise already had a perfect ending. 4 was all right, but it wasn't better than perfect. My number 13, 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. We love McDonough on this show. He's a guy that doesn't get as much run.
Both of them. There's two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I love them both.
Right. This is Martin, I believe.
One of them.
Yeah. There are directors that we both like that we talk about an awful lot. Shane Black is one that comes to mind. McDonough, we do love. He doesn't get as much run. This movie was amazing. Woody was great. Not the Woody from Toy Story. Number 14, Black Klansman from 2018. It was my number one of that year.
That I regret. That probably would have been in my top 25-ish. So it would have been fairly high-ish on my list. Like, I don't know if it would crack top 20, but I think it would have been high enough to where it would have collectively cracked it.
Oh, it absolutely would have. Number 15 was A Quiet Place, followed by The Babadook. My number 17 was my number one of 2012. I think that was the first year we did our top of the year, and that was Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. That's a movie that may just be for me, but I love it. Steve Carell's amazing. We had a couple. About Time is another romantic comedy, quote unquote, led by a dude. Maybe those just kind of land with us a little more so than usual, but I love that one. That's my 17, followed by Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. 19 was my number one of 2013. That was The Wolf of Wall Street, followed by my number two of 2013, which was The Way, Way Back, coming-of-age story, Sam Rockwell at his Rockwelliest, and Steve Carell.
So our collective top 20 is way more of mine.
If we're being accurate, it is a lot of both of ours. And then sort of at the end, yeah, they just became yours. Which was fine, because some of the ones that missed out from my list, Sing Street, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'm not sure you've seen those yet. Yeah, so I thought it was more appropriate to put on movies that we had both seen. But that is why I wanted to go down. As much as I want to keep list integrity for our end of the year stuff, I wanted to do it for our end of the decade stuff too, and give our unadulterated lists. They are going to be, it's kind of a pain in the ass to maybe remember when you listen to the show. But if you go to the website, which is moviesonup.com, every episode has a page. On the page is going to be our joined list and then each of our top 20s separately. So you can just kind of take a look at those if you're curious. It's found over there. It's found for free. Moviesonup.com. We would love to hear, I'm not expecting anybody to put together a 10, 20, or 40 of their favorites, but you know, I'd love to hear a couple of your favorites from the decade. We say it every year. I'd love to know what we missed from a year. I'd love to know what we missed from a decade. I'm sure there's some really great shit.
Like, I went through 50, and after it was done, it was like, oh God, I forgot this.
Oh, you want to see one more you're going to get really mad when you forgot about? Train to Busan?
Yeah. Was that 14?
Yeah, it's 14 or 16. It wasn't.
Yeah, that one's mad. That one I forgot about, and I just remembered. That would have been pretty high.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That's a good movie. I regret leaving Shadows off because it would have been higher. Black Klansman would have been higher. Of my like 10 that didn't make it, the only one I'm surprised is you didn't have Wonder Woman as high. Because I thought you liked it as well.
I like it. It didn't make my top 40. That's no disrespect. I mean, Joker was like at 26. I like that an awful lot. But it's very difficult. I think if we end up doing this show for another 10 years, it'll be a lot easier to do the next list. But trying to remember what came out, what you liked. Logan was a movie that was really high on my list that year, but it wasn't as high for you at the time.
Yeah.
But it changed as some movies do.
Like, I mean, one year I had Safety Not Guaranteed.
Right.
Didn't even crack my top like 30 or
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim 2. So, I mean, there's stuff that I don't think Babadook cracked the top 10 for either of us the year it came out. Like, it was
relatively low.
It's one of those that just resonated. And
it was my number 5 of 2014.
And that's why it's, okay, that's why it's hard to judge, like, Booksmart. It was hard for me to put it too high. Dolomite Is My Name, I liked more than Booksmart, but I think I ranked lower just because over time, like 5 years from now, am I going to be watching Booksmart more often or Dolomite Is My Name? So it's easier to judge movies from like 2015 on where they are in the pantheon of your favorite movies.
That's why we had so many from 2015.
Than movies from, because it's 2015 is like, I still remember those movies.
Right.
Whereas like 10 and 11 and 12, it's like, oh, that was this decade?
Yeah.
So that was our favorite of the decade. I hope you buckled in and enjoyed that. Next week, we get back to stupid lists. next week, Julia Garner, I think, limited's into theaters with, I don't know the name of it. She's a secretary and things aren't what they seem. So we're going to do our favorite shady workplace movies. Of stupid lists, this is one of the stupidest of them, I believe. Like, this is just shady workplace movies where people take a job and the job isn't exactly what they expected to be. So hopefully we can come up with 5 of those. So tune in next week to find out. But until then,
keep it up.